Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
We're going to take some questions. If Robin could rejoin us onto the stage. I'd also like to introduce you this morning to Dr. Helen Cheen. She is the Professor of Midwifery at the University of Stirling. She advises the Scottish Government on matters relating to maternity research. So if you could introduce her onto the stage, please. Congratulations on your new promotion. If you'd just like to take a couple of minutes to tell the audience a bit more about yourself before we begin the panel discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm delighted to be here as Professor Helen Cheen. I'm a midwife, of course, by background, and I work within the Scottish Government National Unit for NMAP Research, where I lead a programme of maternity care research and research and decision making. I'm here this morning, I suppose, because I'm currently leading the PRAM project, which is the National Postnatal Redesign Project, supported by Scottish Government, the Royal College of Midwives and the KTP organisation, which is really a programme where we're trying to implement much of the research that Deborah has been talking about into practice, you know, integrating using a service redesign approach. And we're fortunate possibly just now because, you know, the Scottish Government in particular has got its early years collaborative. And listening to what's been said this morning, it's incredible really how postnatal care has been allowed to take such a back seat and to deteriorate and is really now completely at risk as far as I can see. And yet maybe we're just badging it wrong. We're not making a strong enough stand for the importance of the early years, these very, very early weeks. And I've been so struck, you know, by what you said this morning. In a situation where it's possible between the woman being discharged from hospital at a few hours post-birth, transferred to the health visitor sometime around about 10 days, and possibly not actually having a face-to-face contact with a midwife in that time, how on earth can they then be detecting these very early signs of problems? So I think I'll stop now since there's obviously time for questions.
Yes, it is your turn to take the reins. So the first question for our panel this morning, please. The lady in the green cardigan, microphone A, is heading towards her. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Julie Ray. I'm a midwife in Salford and joint editor of the Practicing Midwife. I am so happy that the college and today, this morning, is covering something on postnatal care because I've been a lobby in my work. But I want to ask us all, why have we all supported the word Cinderella for so long? And why are we all looking at postnatal care through some rose-tinted glasses? We've lost lots of opportunities to provide that evidence base about the value of community midwifery for postnatal care. And what I find very interesting is in the Middle East, they've designed some postnatal care, I can give people the reference, and found absolute categorical positive outcomes on maternal well-being and increasing breastfeeding. And they are copying what we used to do, and we've let go. I think the college has a responsibility, and I think all of us in this room have a responsibility. But I think collectively we can get together and sort this out. And I'd like to know how we can all positively sort it out.
No, thanks, Julie. I mean, I think one of the biggest ways we can work through this is obviously we have evidence. And as I say, I think in the current policy focus at the moment, those of us that are on policy groups are working very hard to make sure the midwifery message is there. I mean, I can't tell you the number of meetings I've been to where I'm just saying, and midwifery, because people don't always automatically think of us as being contributing to those that can contribute to the early learn. I mean, and it's very sad. I think the other people we work really and need to work is with the women. They're the ones that know exactly what it's like to be left feeling, literally holding the baby with nobody sort of, you know, advising them, supporting them. A lot of us will work in areas where women have moved away from their families, so they don't have even the possibility of sort of, you know, mum popping in or aunt or sister or somebody to come and say, actually, you're fine, you're doing a good job here, or, you know, oh, yes, you know, this is something that happens and this is what you do. So I sort of, as I say, I've been working in this field for sort of 20 years now, you know, with some of the first studies looking at health after birth, which was really quite shocking, you know, and as I say, that's why we did the trial, to try and get away from the traditional model of care, which was not working. And I just feel that in terms of resource, the other thing we can sort of try and demonstrate is the longer-term impact. If you invest now with midwifery, with a really good, effective model of care that is based on need, and we've shown it's possible because we did a trial with a control group and an intervention group, if you invest in those early weeks and months, you can make an enormous difference potentially to the longer-term use of resources, both in terms of NHS and in terms of education, in terms of social services. But we never look that far. You know, we have good cohort studies, which is coming up with some evidence, but I just feel we keep missing the point somehow. We keep going round and round in circles, and while we're doing that, our systems and our services are just being, postnatal care is being dropped further and further and further. And I get concerned, as Helen does, that, you know, potentially we will end up with midwives who are de-skilled, who are not confident, they're not out in the communities, and we're going to be relying more and more on the women to come back and tell us they've got a problem. And that really, I think, is quite detrimental to women longer term.
Helen, would you like to add anything to that?
I think Deborah's probably covered it. I was just thinking, I don't think it's just about going back to what we used to do, where we had a visit every day for 10 days, because what Deborah discovered in her work that you did 20 years ago was there was an enormous amount of postnatal morbidity, health problems that we weren't picking up, even with our daily visiting. So it's about what we're doing. But as well, I think we are, you know, directors and commissioners of services tend to be disparaging of outcomes such as just women's experience. And often we put it over as if it is just women's experience. But what we've heard this morning is that women's experience contains so much more than that. And I think we need to be smarter about the message, about why midwife visiting or midwife care in postnatal is so important.
Lady on the front row there, microphone A, please.
I'm Rosemary, midwife from King's College Hospital. My question is for Robin. I just wanted to find out how long these women stay under your support for, and if they do better in subsequent pregnancies and subsequent children than they have. And also, assuming that they have multi-agency support, are you able to measure the efficacy of your own individual support for these women, or could it be just the fact that they're getting additional support as well as yours, that they progress to do better?
Often it isn't that multi-agency support, unless social services are involved. It's the sort of standard health visitor. And again, in Gloucestershire, health visitors are very stretched, so they tend not to visit as much as perhaps they do in other areas. We evaluate as we go along, and we use a clinical tool called the Ages and Stages questionnaire, which is a feedback to the parents on the social and emotional development of their child, and that's our evaluation. And because we're taking referrals on the basis of risk, we aim to keep the children within acceptable levels of social and emotional development. It's very hard when you're working with infants, because our service ends at age two, so you don't get much feedback from the child. You have to sort of look at ways of measuring their emotional development and their attachment to their parent. We often get referred the hard-to-reach families. I guess you're thinking of those too. And one of our aims is we always get them involved with the nearest children's centre. And we work very closely with the children's centres, and we do joint visits with their community workers so that they can pick up all the normal everyday supports in the children's centre. Some mums resist it, obviously, but pretty much the majority of them we can get into the children's centre. I mean, there aren't that many measures for early years. We measure, there's a thing called the Parent-Infant Relationship Global Assessment Scale. We use that to measure the quality of relationships before and after, but again, that's quite subjective. I think the best measure is the Ages and Stages questionnaire.
Microphone B, a lady with a question on the front row.
Elaine Protheroe and Iron Bevan Health Board, lead midwife for substance misuse and mental health. I think all my ladies that I see would like to come to your clinics.
Get on the train down to Cheltenham.
I'd want to ask the question, these ladies and their babies need to be with you. They are that high risk bracket, and obviously those infants are very vulnerable, and the future children. But do they engage well with the service that you're offering for this observation and the programme, or have you got any attractions to keep them engaged with you, and how do they feel after the course of their input with you?
No, we haven't got any inducements. This is a jolly good idea, if I could think of some. We do give away slings sometimes when that's necessary and get them back at the end. Ours is a relationship-based service, so if you can't make a relationship with the mum, nothing's going to happen. If you do make a relationship, then they're engaged with the service. That's a bit of a circular definition, I know. But we do find that people stay engaged. We are taking the very high-risk ones, so obviously we don't expect to be successful in every single case, and sometimes the risk is so high that the children need to be removed, especially with the sort of ones where parents can't actually get clear of substance abuse. And it's not the substance abuse per se that's the problem, it's the lifestyle that goes with it. So the only inducement is actually the parents wanting to see us from week to week. We haven't got anything else. It's purely making the relationship with the parent and sustaining that relationship. Wean them off. That's a good... Well, usually we've got an end point. Sometimes, yes. Sometimes, I guess, it is a bit of a weaning off because they've become dependent on us, yeah. It's so difficult because I'm sort of trying to think, can I generalise? And then I'm thinking, every parent's different, really, which is a nightmare for managers trying to evaluate us, but every parent is actually different.
As a group of that clientele, I do find that sort of when you engage them, it's very difficult to wean them off you because you've become their surrogate parent to lead them through.
Especially with parents who've, if you like, got a relationship to a substance, and often parents, more often than not in our experience, so again, I'm only generalising from our experience, parents with a substance abuse problem, the ones that we have deep relationship-based problems from their own infancy. So the substance, in effect, unconsciously, comes to represent somebody you can have a dependency relationship with, and you have the fantasy. All these mums and dads have a fantasy of being in control of the substance, and, of course, the substance ends up controlling them. But it's another dependency relationship. So, yes, if you're offering a relationship. But I suppose in terms of wean off, yes, it's... I suppose we're a rather wet service, and you wean them onto the solid service of the children's centres.
Thank you.
Question from the lady at the back. Thank you.
Hello. Just to say, my name's Tracy Mansbridge. I'm actually employed as a parent coordinator with Solihull CAMHS, which is quite a unique position because I'm a midwife. So a midwife sitting in a room of psychologists and psychotherapists, it's quite an experience. But what I wanted to say to other midwives is please reach out to your local CAMHS. I don't know what's happening in your different areas, but I know Solihull is a very supportive, Solihull Approach as well, very supportive CAMHS team that absolutely recognise the crucial role of midwives with early intervention for infant mental health. And I got into this role just by wheeling and dealing, as in my passion through children's centres, community midwife, to actually, I need to make a difference for early intervention. I would agree with the panel about undervalued, under-resourced. The early intervention grants have been cut in the last 2 years. I haven't been in post 2 years, but it's been cut. We're fighting again for April. But please reach out to your local CAMHS team. See what they're offering you, and hopefully they'll reach back as well. Just to say, in our local area, our community midwives can put a referral into one of our clinical psychologists if they are concerned about a relationship prenatal in the antenatal period, and it will be followed up pretty soon. It's not like the traditional CAMHS waiting list. The antenatal at the moment, because it's our new field, the referral is being seen pretty soon. So please reach out to your CAMHS team.
Just Tracy, thank you for that contribution, Robin.
Psychotherapists and psychologists can greatly benefit from a bit of common sense. So please do that. And just remind you that legally CAMHS starts at zero. So that's legal. So you should be able to refer to your... They'll push you away, but legally counts as 0 to 18.
Time is against us. Is there one quick question for the panel, the lady with the purple top, and then we'll have to bring this session to a close. Thank you. Microphone B.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Duff, Senior Policy Advisor at NCT. As it's a short question, I won't go on about what NCT does for women postnatally, but I hope people know there is a lot of services and help free of charge to parents and families. What I wanted to actually ask about was the opportunity I hope is going to come up, and this is in England, not across the whole UK, when commissioning turns to clinical commissioning groups with apparently a lot of input from GPs next year. And with Deborah saying that her research demonstrated that care from midwives actually removed some of the burden and therefore the costs of GPs looking after postnatal families, I wonder if next year might represent an opportunity to wave that flag again.
Wouldn't it be brilliant if it did? I mean, I really don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I mean, as I said in my presentations yesterday, you know, to coin the phrase from the thick of it, it's a bit of an omni-shambles at the moment. Nobody really knows. And I think, you know, if we can get more midwives on those commissioning boards, I think that came up in one of the presentations yesterday, I think from Claire Gerarda. You know, so be it, and thank goodness for that. You know, we need to be there because our role is A, spanning the acute and the secondary care sector, but also because of the input we can have, because of the importance of this early years.
Helen, I know it's different in Scotland, but have you got any optimism that the changes ahead may bring the good changes in this particular area of postnatal care?
I mean, it's a mystery. To those of us from north of the border and I guess from other countries in the UK that aren't so affected, well, firstly, we're deeply grateful that we're not. And, you know, come up north, girls, you know, it'll be better up there. We just have no idea. I mean, I must admit, looking at what's happening with NHS south of the border, we have a lot of concerns. NHS across UK seems to be fragmenting. And so, really, we don't know.
OK, well, I'd like to thank the panel, Robin Balburnie, Professor Deborah Bick and Professor Helen Cheen. Thank you all for listening. Refreshments.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.